the Lord.
I've just seen Jesus.
I want you to go back, and I said this in the first service, it's so easy for us living 2,000 plus years from the time of that first Easter to think we know the story.
And we do. But I want you to go back and imagine you haven't heard this story before. Forget what you know about it. Forget that you know that it's Sunday and you think about your Easter baskets, you think about all the stuff about Easter, and you've seen the movies and you've heard about it. But I want you to go back 2,000 plus years ago to that first Easter morning, and you had watched him die Friday night. You had seen him hung on the cross. And I put up, imagine the thoughts you would have had the first Easter. What would you have thought? What would have gone through your mind if you had been a follower of Jesus and your world was destroyed Friday afternoon when he died and you watched him hang on the cross? You may have even heard him say, "It is finished." What would you have thought when someone said, "I've just seen Jesus"? Would you believe them? Would you have thought, "This is hopeful thinking, wishful thinking"? Do you think there was any real sincerity, real honesty on these people's minds? And we're going to be looking. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 21. All four Gospels carry it and tell the story, but we're going to be looking at it in Luke 21. And I don't want you to miss what happened. I want you to go back as if this was your first time, and I really wish that I could have been there. I wish I could have been there knowing what I know now, that I would be looking for him and believing that he was alive. Maybe I would have gone and camped out at his tomb Saturday night and watched for that stone to roll away. But the people then didn't have that luxury. They didn't know. He had told them he was going to come back from the dead, and he had pointed to it. But if we had been there, we would have been just like everyone else. We wouldn't have probably believed it. And we're going to be looking this morning at this title of my message is, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And I put up here, why did the angel ask that question? Why would women be going to the grave in the first place? It would be the normal reaction. But let me read verses 1 to 12 of Luke chapter 21. It says, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise?' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother of Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman who with them who told these things to the apostles." Verse 11. "But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." Verse 12. "But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story that we do know. But Lord, just help us to be able to relate a little bit to what these people went through on that first day, the emotional roller coaster they were on, watching you live for the 3 years and hearing you teach and seeing your miracles, and what a high that would have been. And then the lowest of lows to watch you die and think perhaps that your story was maybe untrue or something happened that caught you by surprise as we watched you die and heard you say it's finished, and then spent all day yesterday just crying and thinking about what could have been, and then hearing that someone said they just seen Jesus. And then these women are asked, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And then it occurred to them, all the things that you had said. I just pray, Lord, that you would just teach us today what you want us to hear from your word and to learn and to apply it to our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this question could have seemed a little odd from our perspective,
why else would
people go to a grave? You want to go and honor the one who's dead.
We go today. We leave flowers and things on tombs. We go to the cemetery today.
If you probably drove around through the cemetery in town today, you'd probably see a lot of lilies and flowers there for Easter because people want to honor the one that's left them.
But when these women arrived at the tomb this morning,
they found that the stone had been rolled away. And it doesn't tell us that they were really perplexed by that.
They found the stone rolled away, and they went in.
Now, I imagine most young ladies that I know, matter of fact, we used to take our teens hiking through a cemetery up in Watkins Glen, and I'd always have a couple of teens go up behind some of the tombstones and just be ready for the girls, and you could see every year. We did it every year, and every year was the same reaction. Guys would pop up, and we would go out kind of at dusk, and guys would pop up from behind the tombstone, and girls would freak out. Probably not many women would have just walked in on that day, but we're not told that they were surprised, that they found anything out of the ordinary, but they knew the stone was there. But verse 2 says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in. They didn't find the body, but they went in. They were there to do
what was appropriate.
They would have done what anyone would have gone to. They would have gone to find the dead body of Jesus. So it seems that this question is kind of a little odd, but
Went a little bit ahead there.
Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Why else would these ladies go to a tomb? They weren't looking for someone alive. They were looking for someone who was dead. They weren't hoping to go say hi to him. They weren't expecting to have a conversation with him. They weren't expecting to have any kind of
reaction with him or interaction with him.
So what was intended by this question? I believe, as I said up here, it was more for us than it was for them. I believe that
Jesus or these angels asked the question
for us today, not for those ladies at that first Easter. And we're going to look
this morning at what are some things that
people look to find fulfillment
in life. Where do people look? Jesus said, I am the way.
We have it right across the banners here. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Where do people go to look for life?
And I just realized my PowerPoint isn't in, it's everything's just coming down in order. I usually had it separated, so if I skip ahead, it's because my numbers are off.
I must have put the wrong version on this screen. But anyway, we're going to be looking at what do some people look to today for life and fulfillment. It should be,
first off, it should be entertainment.
And that would be the first one up there. But if you're taking notes, you do have a place in your notes to put some things down. Entertainment would be the first one.
I don't know if some of the girls who are here today from sixth grade class were there a few weeks ago. I taught science in the sixth grade a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about Mrs. Altman wanting them to track their screen usage through the week. Were you there at that one? Do you remember that?
Okay. They were supposed to track their screen usage from weekdays and then separately on weekends.
And one of the girls in one of the classes,
it was Ariana, if you remember that or not, wasn't this Ariana.
She came up, and
as soon as she started writing it down, she turned to me, she goes, in front of the class, she goes, Mr. Hagee, this is not going to be pretty. And as she went on, she said, and I imagine she probably stretched it a little bit, but she said about 6 hours per weekday. And that was, again, counting the computer usage at school, which for sixth graders isn't as much as eighth graders.
But at least I don't think. But
she kept 6 hours a day on weekdays, and I put this down, 18 hours a day on weekends. 18 hours a day. I said, now, do you ever sleep? And she goes, not much on weekends. And she said, when I come home from school, I'm usually on it. She goes, turn TV on, but I have my phone in my hand and my iPad. And she said, I'm playing games all day, all night. And I said, weekends, do you do anything? And she said, yeah, I play games, I watch movies, I talk to my friends. Now, 18 hours might have been a little bit high, but that's what young people are saying that is their time that they use on the
on their electronic stuff.
But we have people in our lives, adults, who they'll go to nightclubs, they'll go to concerts, they'll go to movies, they'll go to ball games, they'll go to bars. They're looking for entertainment. We surf the internet, we start stop and stare at our iPhones, and it always amazes us when we go out to dinner, we'll laugh at people who are sitting, maybe a young couple. We were in New York City last week. I was watching a couple who sat right next to us, and they didn't take out their phones at all. I was really, really impressed with that, and I think it was pretty much their first date. A couple ate pizza next to us. I was watching them. I'm pretty sure it was their first date, but neither one of them picked up their phone, and that was unusual. But we'll sit, and we'll just watch people sit right across from one another, kids and husband and wife, and they'll be on their phone, not talking, not interacting with one another, but spending time on their phone. It's, to me, it's really kind of a mind-numbing experience. Sometimes I'll find myself on my cell phone just habitually checking Facebook or checking messages, or my phone will beep, and I'll want to put it off and say, I'm not going to look at it. Then 30 seconds later, my willpower goes. I pick up and see who wrote and what they had to say. I appreciate Larry got a text from someone during the meal this morning. And he said, I'm not going to look at it. Yeah, I am. He pulled it out, and his sister had written, he is risen. And she said, that's our annual Easter tradition. So he wrote back, he is risen indeed. But think about what we do for entertainment. We look for things that are kind of a temporary fix, and people look for entertainment in a lot of wrong places, and that is really a lot of times looking for living among the dead. If we spend 18 hours a day on electronics, something's going to die. It's going to be our brain cells or something, but we're not finding life in that. The second thing I put down is free time and hobbies. For some people, life through the work week is all about the weekend. They'll put up with the 40 hours or 40-plus hours a week so they can live for that free time. We have a lot of people in our church who are hunters and fishers, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some people love to go snowmobiling. Others like to go camping. Some people like to play golf, or they like to do woodwork. I love to do things outside. I like to spend time outside. I used to go camping and fishing and lots of sports when I was younger. I'm not so much doing that as much anymore. But the question is, how do you unwind? How do you spend your free time every week? There's nothing wrong with relaxing, and someone said recreating is really recreating. Recreating your physical mindset, your emotional mindset a little bit. But the problem with those things is none of those are long-lasting. I have to confess that when we come home from vacation, we usually try to go down to Myrtle Beach every year, and the last couple of years we've been going down for 2 weeks. And last year was the first time we flew down, and when we got on the airplane to come home from Myrtle Beach, I was already thinking about, what are we going to do in 2019? Where are we going to go for vacation in 2019? Perhaps some of you are like that. No matter how much recreation you get, it's never enough, is it? You never quite have enough time to make up on your weekend for the 40 hours you work during the week. When I asked the sixth graders how much time that they spent using their electronics, and it wasn't, most of them weren't that high, usually anywhere from 8 to 10 hours a day on, which is still a lot, 8 to 10 hours a day on weekends, and 3 or 4 hours during the week. I asked them, along with this, and Joanne would be interested in knowing that. Joanne could probably give you the answer to this. I said, how much time do you sixth graders spend studying for tests and for things and doing your homework? And they all kind of rolled their eyes like it was even stupid of me to ask. But I did ask. I said, so how much time, if you were to put that down, how much time a week or how much time a day? And they said, maybe 20 minutes a day. I said, no, I'm talking about if you study for tests. And they said, that's what we're talking about. 20 minutes if we study for a test. And my question for you as a church attender this morning, how much time do you spend a day in God's Word? How much time do you spend each day in quiet time, reading what God has to say to you and listening for what He wants to say to you, in prayer, in just waiting? That's a hard thing to do. And that's what David says, we need to just be still and just listen and know that God is God. But in our busy work week of 40-plus hours and the time that you want to invest in your screen time, your electronics, how much time are you spending allowing God to speak to you? If we're looking for fulfillment in our free time and in our hobbies, but we're not spending any of that free time with the Lord, we're looking for living things among the dead. Another area that people look to for fulfillment is in relationships. Our family, our friends, our loved ones are really important. Paige is graduating in June. We have family coming in all week. Our son's flying in from California on that Wednesday. And be in prayer. I've been asked to do the baccalaureate for the graduating class this year, so we'll be working on that. But it's a neat group because I've been teaching up at the high school, so I know most of them now. But we're going to have our family. My son's flying in Wednesday. When I do the baccalaureate, and then we have people coming in all weekend. And it's always a great time. We always enjoy time with our family when we go on vacation. But sometimes we spend more time with physical family than we do with our spiritual family. And we don't often pray for one another here. When you look to fulfill your needs through relationships, and family is great, but some of the older kids here might be aware of this. Talking to some of the kids at the senior high, I'll talk to them and I'll see them with a guy or a girl 1 week, and I might be down the middle school for 2 or 3 weeks and be back up at the high school a month later, and they're walking with someone else, arm in arm with someone else down the hall. And they're not supposed to be holding hands and all that, but they still do. And I'll catch them once in a while and say, "That's not who you were with 2 weeks ago." "Oh, no, that didn't work out." There's one girl who I had last year in eighth grade who's a ninth grader this year. I think she told me she's dated 7 different guys since August. She's looking for fulfillment in dead things. This is a young girl. If you remember back in October, November, we did the Dare to Share conference at the school, and we're praying for that. We were praying for a couple hundred, but the national program Dare to Share and witnessing to your friends. I texted this young girl I'm speaking about. I knew she had already been dating probably 2 or 3 guys, and that from August till November. And she said, "Mr. Hagin, I'm just not into religion." And I said, "Really, this isn't about religion. This is all in text." I said, "This isn't about religion. This is about a relationship." And I figured maybe a relationship would catch her. It's a relationship with Christ, but I said, "This is about a relationship." And she ended up, I told her, she goes, "Well, how do I get there?" I said, "My wife's coming. She can stop by and pick you up." She ended up not coming. But there's a young person, a young girl, ninth grade, who's looking for fulfillment in a dead place because it's only in relationships. And when you have 7 of them that don't work out in 6 months or whatever, she's looking in the wrong places. And adults and church family, we look in the wrong places for relationships. When God offers us a permanent, loving relationship where he's never going to turn his back on us, we're never going to say that, "Well, that didn't work out." God loves us, and he invites us into this loving relationship. There's plenty more, but I put up there the fourth thing is possessions and popularity. Where we looked for fulfillment in what we can get out of life or how popular or how well-known our name is. And folks, you don't need to be told this because you know that possessions, if we're looking just in what we can get, that's looking for life among the dead. Because those things are not going to last. They're not going to be around forever. And I've told this story a number of times, some at this church, but just in conversations with people. When we served in Corning, New York, I don't remember, what is it, 2003, 2004, when that crisis hit, we had people who were top echelon at Corning Incorporated who went from being millionaires one night to having nothing when the market crashed. People from our church who lost it all. And I remember thinking, the 3 pastors got together and we were talking to them, "Man, we really need to pray. There's going to be some really hurt people on Sunday morning at church." They came in, you would never have known it, because they said, "It's temporary." And maybe they were just being kind because they knew we were their pastors and they were trying to put on a spiritual air. But they said, "We have so much more to look forward to in eternity than what we just lost this last week." We didn't talk to everybody, but the ones we talked to had that attitude. And folks, if we're looking for fulfillment in popularity or in possessions, we're looking for living among the dead. Because God alone is the only one that can give life. God alone is the only one that can offer life. He says in Matthew 10:37, Jesus said, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." In most of the wedding ceremonies that I do, and I've probably done 50 or 60 weddings, they used to always do a unity candle. You remember what the unity candle is? There's two candles on the out, one on each side, and then they light the middle candle by them with the outside ones, and then they extinguish the two outside ones, just leave the center one burning. More recently, couples have been doing unity sand. Anybody seen the unity sand? That's kind of a neat thing too, where it's there's sand in the middle, and then there's two different colors of sand on the outside representing the man and the woman. And they slowly pour it in and let the sand mix with the sand that's in the middle. But the point is that two lives are coming in, and they're becoming one through Jesus Christ. And they can no longer be separated. And as we look here this morning, I want you to think about how life is fulfilled when we blend it with Christ. When we find fulfillment in things that are really going to lead to full living. So for a few moments, I want you to think about things that we can look to, and that's what we're going to be talking about here. And again, it shouldn't be up. Both of them shouldn't be up there, but again, I put the wrong one up. Think about places where believers should be looking. All right, so number one is Scripture. The first place that believers should be looking to for fulfillment in life and for life is in the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that His love for man and His sacrifice was paid for our salvation. We can read about the Easter story, and that's hopefully you have done that at some point today, or at least listen to it. But in this, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word." That's where life is going to be found. As we read the Word of God, we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. He will lead us to God's presence. He will lead us to life, and He will give us peace. That's what the Word of God assures us. So as the world looks for the living among the dead, we want to look for life in the living. So Scripture is the first place. Second is fellowship with the body. We need to be in church. We need to be having our family in church. We need to have ourselves in church. It says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." There is life in the body of Christ. There is life among believers. There's life in a church. And being around other believers not only encourages the other believers when they see us walk in. I tell you, when Viv came in today, we haven't seen Viv for a while. When she came in, I don't know how many hugs and kisses did you get, Viv, but that was encouraging that Viv would make the effort to get here. She doesn't, and just really be in prayer for Viv. Viv is falling. That's why she doesn't come to church. Viv, when I stop to visit her, I'll say, "Have you fallen?" "Yep, fallen." You know, getting out of bed the other day, she fell, and she's always falling down. She just fell a couple weeks ago, but it was encouraging to us to see Viv here. It's encouraging to see each of you here this morning. But when we don't see someone for a while, man, I tell you, it really is encouraging. And when you don't come to church, you're discouraging the body of Christ. But it's not only encouraging to us, it should be encouraging to you. Because the Word of God tells us that it corrects, it teaches, it comforts us. And as a body of Christ, we can pray together. We share prayer requests. We hear what one another is struggling with, what one another is dealing with. And if you share your heart with us, any of the deacons who are here, do we ever gossip about anyone at our deacons meeting? Be honest, guys. We pray, and we might say, so-and-so is dealing with an issue. Let's pray for it. And there's a family over here that we need to pray for. There's a family in our community that's hurting. There's someone who's lost something. What can we do as a church to help them? We're not going to gossip about you. We're not going to laugh about things, but we will uphold you as your leaders and as your church. And that's what happens in the body of Christ. So you want to find life. You want to find fulfillment in life. You need to be in the church. You need to be in the body of Christ. You need to be surrounding yourself with fellow believers. Number three is in worship. Because you are steadfast, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. He says in verse 4, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. Worship literally means that he is inhabiting and exists in our worship. That's what that is saying. When we worship God, he exists in that worship. He takes up residence in our worship. You want to experience life? You want to experience fulfillment? You want to look for life among the living rather than among the dead? Then you need to be worshiping. That's part of that is spending time with God's people, but it's also praying. It's also reading scripture. It's singing songs of praise. A lot of times I'll just come in the sanctuary and I'll turn up some of our songs. And sometimes I walk in here during the winter and I just listen to worship songs. And it's just such an awesome time of just spending time with the Lord. But I need to be doing that in my quiet time as well. So worship. If you want to find life, you need to be worshiping. Number four, we find it in nature. Now, before I go on this, four and five are up there together, so you can go ahead and fill them in your notes. We had a guy who was our neighbor down in Reading when we lived there 30 years ago. And he wasn't a believer. His girlfriend moved in with him. They live right next door to us, and they had asked me to do their wedding. After about a year, they end up getting married. So I told them, I said, neither one of them were believers. So I told them I would, but I said, I want to spend 10 weeks of counseling with you. He said, okay, if you're going to do it, I'll be glad to let you do it. But so I shared the whole gospel with them. As far as I know, they never made a decision for Christ. But he said, you know, Ron, he said, don't try to get me to come out to your church. He said, I go and I talk to God every day when I'm out in the woods. That's where my heaven, that's where my church is. And he didn't understand that he didn't have a relationship with Christ. You just don't meet with God. He's not just there as spirit. It's not just in nature. But we can find a relationship with God because it says here in Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 to 4, the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor their words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through the earth and to the ends of the world.
I love to be outside. I love to walk outside. Cheryl and I like to do it. This is a great area to walk. If you want to enjoy nature, go down past the Stony Fork where they jump and just walk all the way down to where the water meets there and people drive across it to get into, I can't even think of it. What's it? Mount Morris. Blackwell. Thank you. We walk down there quite a bit, and our dog loves it, and we love to go out in nature. A couple years ago, we were down Myrtle Beach, and it was this terrible storm. The house was shaking, and you could just, lightning all night. It's like strobe lights throughout the whole day, and we got up in the morning, and I said, I'm going to go down to the beach, and Cheryl said, you're crazy. Nobody's going to be down there, and there wasn't anybody there. And the waves were splashing up, and it had been not a hurricane, but real heavy wind and heavy rain. And I would just walk along, just talking to the Lord, and I was videotaping where we normally would be walking in the morning. It was just under 5 feet of water. It was just the waves were coming in huge, and nobody was down there. But it was just such an awesome time just talking to God. And talk about heaven's declaring his glory. Just the awesome waves and the power, and just think, how insignificant am I to have a God that loves me. And as I walked along, I love to walk along the beach, but I like to walk in the rain. I like to listen to thunder and lightning. Spring's my favorite season. You all know I love Christmas. And I love, if we could have spring at Christmas time, we want to have at least Christmas have some snow. But I love when the seasons change and the trees start to bud. I come out here and I look at the Simmons yard and just how beautiful their things are. But what a display that God puts on for us every spring. And we can find God in nature, but don't let that be your excuse for church, like my neighbor, okay? Don't let it say, that's where my church is. But we can find and talk to God as we look around and see his glory and his handiwork out there.
The fifth thing is trials. trials.
Not something we enjoy thinking about, is it?
We don't like talking about going through difficult times, but
as a body of Christ, we've had a lot of people going through some trials in the last couple of years. Viv is one of them.
A lot of you have gone through some difficult times, but we can find God's comfort
and his presence in suffering. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you.
When you go through difficult times, I am there.
The problem with most believers is that when they go through a difficult time, they're complaining, they're asking God why, rather than saying, God, what are you trying to teach me in this? What do you want me to find in this?
Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5 says, Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us.
Let me ask you, where are you looking for life?
Where are you looking
for fulfillment? If you're looking to some of those things we talked about in the beginning, free time, relationships, popularity, possessions, you're going to find you're looking among the dead. But if you look in these things that we just looked at in Scripture, in fellowship with the body, in worship, in nature, even going through trials, you're going to find that God is there.
At the end of our first, or in our first service, we watched the video called That's My King. And the pastor, it was a black pastor sharing and just shared the word of God so powerfully. But throughout, he said, do you know him? Talking about Jesus, he's trying to describe who Jesus was. And he said he's the pathway of holiness, and or the highway to holiness. Everything had a crossing with it, the pathway of peace and the road to righteousness. And then as he went through all those, he said, but do you know him? Do you know him?
As we wrap up this morning, that's my question for you. Do you have a personal relationship with the one who's can give you life? Or are you still searching for life among the dead? That's the question the angels asked that morning, and that's the question we're closing with this morning. Do you know him, or are you looking for the living among the dead? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you for your death on the cross, and Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us in your presence today. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless each one who's here, give us a great afternoon. And Lord, I pray that we would be finding fulfillment not in the things that are temporary and the things that the world looks for life in, but we find it in you. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to each heart. If there's someone here today who does not know you as a personal Savior, Lord, help them to find eternal life in you, and then to find that daily source of fulfillment in life through that relationship. We pray that we would find it through worship and time and the church and time with God's people. And Lord, even as we go through the difficulties, we'd find your presence there. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to close.